Have you ever wondered what you discover about yourself in a human design reading? I mean, how can someone really tell, just by knowing your birth information, what's great about you or where you'll mess up or where you fall into patterns of self-sabotage? I hear this question all the time and I love it. I always say I love me a good skeptic. Listen in today and see what you think.
Welcome to Unjaded. I'm your host, Vicki Dixon. This is a podcast with a human design spin on building the life, the relationships, and the business that you were made for. Let's dive in.
Today we are looking at the human design chart of someone who I will call Brooke. Her name has been changed. Her chart is in the show notes. So if you would like to take a look at her chart, you'll be able to see what I'm talking about there. What I would encourage you to do is have your own human design chart handy, so that you can refer to it and see how you compare to Brooke. You're going to have maybe some similar parts of your design to her design that you can kind of get a feel for. So Brooke is an entrepreneur who works a full-time job. She has a busy, busy side hustle, and she's raising a young family. She's recently celebrated her 50th birthday, and she's passionate about all of these things and the legacy that she'll leave behind. As we get to midlife and beyond, I find that this is something that plays out certainly in my own life, but also for my clients. We are really concerned about the impact that we're having, and we would love to have a beautiful life to support that, right? We don't want to give up our life for our business anymore. We want to have it all really flow beautifully and have this big, beautiful life with this big, beautiful impact. And that is the place that Brooke is in right now with having turned 50. So I'm sharing this with her permission. As I said, her name has been changed. And it's just interesting because I'm often asked what a human design reading can really do or what it's like inside of a reading. So I thought I'd just let you eavesdrop on this mini reading today. This isn't the full picture. This is just a couple of high level things in Brooke's design, but it'll give you an idea of what it feels like to be inside of human design world. So we're going to be talking about a couple of themes that will play out in Brooke's life, the role she's here to play, how she shows up in the world, her greatest conditioning, and her decision-making superpower. So first things first, Brooke is a manifesting generator. She's really embracing this theme of not sticking to one thing in her life, right? We see that with her having this full-on job or career. Her career is a 60-hour a week career, and then she still has this side hustle. So she's, you know, really burning the candle at both ends. I'm not saying that that is a good thing. I'm just saying she's really embracing the thing inside of herself that wants her to be multi-passionate, that needs her to be multi-passionate. And she's always going to be multi-passionate because she's supposed to be. But what we see for manifesting generators is that we are very conditioned to stick to one thing. You know, the world would be more comfortable with us if we could just fit into the box of doing this one thing and staying with it for a long period of time. But that's never going to be the way it is for a mani gen. So if you are a manifesting generator, then you are not going to be able to stick to one thing. In fact, what I see in my practice is that more often than not, manifesting generators burn out not because they're doing too much, but because they're doing too little. Or they're super, super tired and kind of bored with their life, a little bit apathetic because they are not living in the glory of being alive and doing all of the things, having their hand in lots of pots, so to speak. So that may or may not be you if you're a manifesting generator, but it is just something to watch for, that conditioning to stay in the box. You are not meant to live in a box. You're meant to do lots of things. So for Brooke specifically, she has the 3420 channel defined. She's going to be busier than most people. She has this inner drive to keep going and going and going, but this shouldn't mean that she's scattered. So what I see in clients with a 3420 channel is this. They are almost frenetic. They are busy, 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 busy. I can tell a 3420 manifesting generator within seconds because they are so intent on being busy, and they'll tell you that they're busy, right? The thing is, the gate 34 is about power and gate 20 is about presence. So with the 3420 channel, you are being called to have powerful presence. There is power in your presence. But what I see instead is people who cannot be present. No matter what is going on, they can't be present with it. So I think that's the great call for 3420 man gens is to be present. To be present in your life, to be present for the moments. You're going to always be tempted to be busy, 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 busy. And Ra would have said busy for yourself. And that's okay. There's nothing wrong with that. But it doesn't mean that you have to be scattered, and it doesn't mean that you have to be frenetic. There is a way to be present and to be powerful at the same time. So channel 3420 is the channel of charisma. And Brooke has this contagious magnetic energy that just draws people to this. This is actually in a few places in her chart. So when you look at her chart in the show notes, we know that because of her being a manifesting generator, she has this big enveloping aura, right? She draws people to her. She has the channel 3420, which is the channel of charisma. It's the most charismatic energy in the body graph. And she has gate 15, which is the gate of magnetism. People with gate 15, I mean, I can't tell you the number of times that this is my experience and experience of clients where, you know, you might walk into a coffee shop and you feel the energy shift, but you don't know what happened. And people start to look at you and you wonder, like, did I put my lipstick on my eyes today? Like, do I have something on my face? What's wrong? Because people just look at you weird. And if this is the case in your design, if you're a generator or a manifesting generator, if you have 3420 channel, if you have gate 15, you have this magnetism in you and it's going to draw people to you. And that's just going to be the way that you walk through life. So you best get comfortable being uncomfortable with that. I've been in Brooke's aura and she is irresistible. People want to be in her aura because she makes them feel all warm and fuzzy inside. And that's not the case for every manifesting generator. So don't feel just because you're a mani gen or a generator and you have this big aura that you have to be making people feel warm and fuzzy. We all have our own gifts to share. So for Brooke, she needs to be really in tune with her sacral energy. She needs to understand when her body is telling her yes and when it's saying no. This is key for generator types, generators and manifesting generators. We have to get in tune with our bodies. We were not raised to be in tune with our bodies for the most part. We were instead conditioned to believe that maybe we should second guess our intuition. Could that really be right? Are you sure you want to do that? The sacral has a sound. Remember that the sacral center is a motor and it speaks uh-huh or uh-uh. The opportunity here is to answer from your body, but oftentimes we get into our heads instead, and the head is no place to live, right? We know that that creates a lot of anxiousness. It creates a lot of second guessing ourselves. It creates a lot of, you know, doing the pros and the cons and all of these things, and we never really know how we feel about it. That's not the way it's supposed to be for a manifesting generator or for a generator. The body leads, the sacral center leads. It is your compass. So for Brooke, when she's making a decision, she's going to get this sacral, I call it a sacral hit. She's going to get this sacral hit where she knows that, yeah, that's the thing for me. And then she needs to wait. This is where we come into her decision-making superpower. So look at your own chart. And if you have the triangle on the bottom right-hand side of your design chart colored in, that's your emotional solar plexus. If that is colored in most charts it will be beige, but it could be a different color on yours. If it's colored in, not white, then it's defined. And if that center is colored in, then you are what we call an emotional authority. This is your decision-making superpower. What does this mean? It means that you need to wait to make decisions. And the waiting can be uncomfortable, right? Because we live in a society that really values decisions being made in the moment. And your sacral center is going to want to make that decision in the moment because it already has decided. Your sacral center has decided that this is the thing to do. But you want to wait out your emotional authority. The thing for emotional authorities is there's no truth in the now. There's no truth in the now. There's only clarity over time. Sometimes a lot more time than you would like it to take to get clarity. I'm going to give you an example from my own life, okay, what this could look like. For me, I know that I have bought courses. Oh my gosh, the courses that I have bought. I have the 4816 channel as well. If you have that, it can be painful sometimes because it makes you want to learn and get all the certifications. So I bought an EFT tapping course without wading through my emotional authority. Why did I do that? Because I was in a coaching container with a coach who was the most badass EFT practitioner that I have ever experienced. And the kind of tapping that she did moved me forward through some pretty old, pretty yucky traumas very, very quickly. And I wanted to be able to bring that to my clients. So I asked her, she had an affiliate link. I asked her for this affiliate link and I bought the course within like an hour of our last call. I didn't wait out my emotional authority on that. Right now I'm staring at, remember Mani Gen, I'm staring at about 35 tabs open on my computer. And that EFT tapping course is one of them. And I have tried to start that EFT tapping course at least 6 times. And I just can't get into it. It's not my thing. It may be my thing down the road. I sure hope it is because it was an expensive course. It's a certification course. So it was a pretty expensive course. But that was an example of me just doing something in the moment and not waiting out my emotional authority. So what this might look like for Brooke, say someone reaches out to her and asks her to facilitate a workshop in 2024. Immediately her sacral is going to be, well, I'm going to assume her sacral is going to be hyped up and it's going to be like, yes, let's do that. That sounds so juicy. For her to lean into her decision-making superpower, she's going to want to ask the person if she can get back to them in a few days or a few weeks or whatever amount of time it takes her to feel her way through decisions. This is the thing with emotional authority. You are here to feel your way through decisions. You're here to feel your way through life. You're supposed to be feeling. A lot of the clients that I work with who are emotionally defined, and this was certainly the case for me, and I'm still always learning, we were conditioned not to feel. It seems to me that we get it backwards in life, whereas the people with the open emotional solar plexus, they're the ones who have all the big feelings, right? They amplify all of the feelings of the world. And those of us that are defined emotionally, we don't allow ourselves to feel the things. We tend to be the stoics. We're the ones that are like, oh, I can name four feelings. I can name four emotions when there are, what, 34,000 or 32,000 of them? So we get it wrong in life. But if you are an emotional authority, you are here to feel your way through life. That is your superpower. So what Brooke needs to do in this case is that she needs to ask for a little bit of time to decide, and she needs to write it out. Now, the gift in your emotional authority is you want to know when you're emotionally high and when you're emotionally low. You want to know when you are at a neutral, and that's when you want to be making a decision. Now, I once had it explained to me that with an emotional authority, it can never be a no. You want to know if it's a high, if it's a low, if it's a neutral. And if you ever get a no about your decision, then it has to be a no. But that's not how it works in my body. So your opportunity, your invitation is to know yourself as an emotional authority and to know your own flow of emotions as an emotional authority. And remember, not everything you're feeling is a wave. I have to remind clients of this all the time. They'll be like, oh my God, I'm waving all the time. That's what we call it in human design, waving. My emotional wave is waving all the time. It's not always a wave. Sometimes you're just supposed to feel an emotion, because if you're an emotional being, you are supposed to be feeling the emotions. So it's allowing yourself to step into that. But what's going to happen with you when you're making a decision with your emotional authority is that there's going to be times where you're, you know, high on the mountain and you're going to think, yes, I want to do this. I need to do this. And then there's going to be other times where you're in the doldrums and you're like, oh my gosh, I just can't even today. That's the worst thing. How am I thinking about that? And then there's going to be other times where you're just neutral. You're just okay with it. And you can just really look at it and see the good and see the bad and see the possibilities and see the pitfalls and then make a really informed decision. But it's informed from your body. It's informed from the way you're feeling about it, not from the way you're thinking about it in your head. Does that make sense? I'm hoping that makes sense with you. That's the one thing about a podcast, right? I can't see your head nodding. I can't see if you're thinking, yes, that really makes sense, or oh my gosh, I'm so confused right now. If you're confused, you can always DM me on Instagram and I will walk you through this in your design. Okay, so back to Brooke's chart. Remember that when you are looking at your human design, it's not always going to be convenient. And that is something that I would definitely work on with Brooke, because there is some resistance around this asking for time. Living your design isn't always going to be convenient, but it's always going to be correct, and it will always lead you to the things that are right for you, I promise. So another thing about Brooke's chart specifically is that she's what we call a split definition in human design. What this means is that one group of defined or colored in centers are connected to each other, but not to another group of defined centers that are connected to each other. About 46% of people are split definitions, and split definitions will learn many of their life lessons through their relationships, which is super, super fun. When they're with people who bridge their splits or who bring these two groups of centers together, they may feel a little bit more cohesive. Now, this could be like a subconscious thing. It's not always that you walk around thinking, oh my God, I feel complete now because I'm with someone who has my gate three or my gate six or whatever. It's not like that. Instead, you just may feel that it's a little bit easier to get things done when you have access to more of this cohesive flow. So if you're a split definition like Brooke is, it can be really beneficial to work in a co-working space. Now, remember that human design is all about the nuances, right? This is the hill that I will die on with human design. Just because one split definition works well in a coffee shop doesn't mean that you should take it up as a regular practice. There's a lot of pieces of your design, and we want to look at how it all plays together, not just this one piece of the puzzle. We want to look at the big piece of the puzzle and how do these pieces play with each other. So Brooke is a split definition. She's here to learn lessons in relationships. When the chips are down, Brooke will always question her lovability, her value, and her worth. That is a big conditioner in her life. She has this insatiable need to prove herself to herself and to anyone else who will listen. She often is going to question her direction in life, and she may feel like everyone else has it together. Why can't she get it together? I mean, she's 50 years old. What is wrong with her that she can't just choose a direction? Why can't she just leave one thing and go to another? You know, leave her career and step fully into her business. What is holding her back? Maybe she just needs to prove that she can make more money with that second job or that second business. Maybe she needs to prove that she is the best at what she does and that she can do it all and she can raise a family. Like, it could be anything for her. But it is this underlying need to prove herself. It is this knife to the heart that will make her question her lovability, her value, and her worth over and over and over again. The gift of understanding her human design for Brooke is that she gets to start to decondition this. She gets to start to decondition all of the ways that she's been told that she's just not quite good enough. She gets to decondition the fact that her temptation is going to be to do it better and cheaper than anyone else because she has to prove herself. She gets to start to understand that she is lovable as she is, no matter who else thinks so in her life. So Brooke is a second line profile. She's a natural. She's gifted at something that she doesn't even see, yet she questions herself continually. This is the struggle for second line profiles. If you have a second line profile in your design, this will be listed. It'll be listed where it says your type. It'll be, you know, emotional manifesting generator 2-4. This is the two numbers. These are your, this is your profile. And the thing with second line profiles is that they are naturally gifted, but the gift needs to be called out of them. So there's a lot of the recognition piece for second line profiles as well. You know, we tend to think in the human design world of recognition just for projectors, but it actually lives in quite a few places in human design. And one of them is this second line. So what I would be working with Brooke on is, what do people ask her to do in her business? What do they say she's incredible at and want to have her back for? You know, she steps off of a stage or she steps down from the front of the room from giving a workshop and somebody pulls her aside and they say, "My God, that was incredible. The way that you blank, that's her genius." And she can't even see it. Her tendency is going to be to underprice her services, to try to prove that she can do it better, and to wonder if anyone really loves her. And she's so busy thinking about those things that she doesn't even see her genius for what it is. So that is really an edge for growth for Brooke and for you if you are a second line profile, is to begin to notice what you're being called out for. Begin to notice what people are asking you for. And you know what? I think whether you're a second line profile or not, I think this is a really good thing to get a handle on, because we all have gifts. You know, we can all have projected channels in our chart. We can have projected energies in our charts. We can have fifth line energies, second line energies. All of these places need to be recognized. So chances are that you're not seeing something that's really great about you that is really evident to other people in your life. So that's an opportunity for you to go and look at that. And it certainly is an opportunity for Brooke to really lean into her natural genius. And that's something that I work with a lot with my clients in a coaching container, is really leaning into your genius and understanding your purpose, what you're here to do, how you're here to do it, and who you're here to do it for. That's a big, big, big thing that we work on through coaching. So let's talk about the themes that show up in Brooke's life. One thing that's worth noting is that her incarnation cross is the cross of the Sleeping Phoenix. This is the background frequency that the entire planet will shift to in 2027. And I always get super excited when I work with people with this incarnation cross, because I want to know how it feels in their body. I get really curious and I want to know if they're feeling the shift now. It's going to be really interesting for Brooke to see how this plays out for her and for the rest of us, because our whole background frequency is changing. 70% of who Brooke is flows through the lens of gate 59, which is her conscious sun. This is the energy of intimacy, of breaking down barriers quickly. Remember that gate 15 does this as well. Connections are really important to Brooke. She has this in her gate 59, in her fourth line profile. She has that magnetism in gate 15. She's someone who will move through life with people, with the right people. Another thing that's interesting to note in Brooke's design is that she has a lot of fifth line energy. So when you look at your chart, you see the numbers on either side, the red side and the black side. And you'll see that every number is followed by a decimal and a number. That is the line. We consider that the line. That's where your profile comes from. So it can be fun. In some charts, it's, you know, they're kind of all over the place. There are six different lines. But in this design specifically, I looked at it and she has 10 fifth lines, 10 out of 26. So she has a lot of fifth line energy. There are a lot of areas of Brooke's life where she's being called to be a visionary leader. She's always going to be a mirror for people in her life of karma that needs to be healed. And that's not always going to be comfortable for her. The fifth line kind of plays in a projection field just like projectors do and just like second lines do. There is this projection energy around fifth line. So she's got a lot of this projected energy in her chart. But I would be looking at with Brooke all of the places that she's being called to visionary leadership because she is a visionary leader. Even though her profile isn't the profile of a visionary leader, she has it everywhere in her design. Almost half of her design is in that line of the visionary leader. So we would have to be looking at that. Again, I want to remind you that it is about the nuances, right? It's how does Brooke's entire chart play together? How can we look at everything and not just one little thing and say, oh, you're a manifesting generator, so this. Oh, you're a 2-4 profile, so that. You have gate 20 defined, so this, right? We want to look at the whole picture. This is the tip of the iceberg, but I really hope that it gives you an idea of how much human design can tell you about yourself and how you can use it to learn in your own life and to live it in your own life. This was, what, about 20 minutes we talked about Brooke's chart with a lot of tossing in little anecdotes and stuff as well. So that's just what you can learn in, you know, 15 minutes. Imagine what you can learn in an entire reading. So if you are looking to define your purpose, if you want to know what drives you, if you want to know where you've been conditioned to be something you're not, if you want to take a look at your greatest wound, your greatest opportunity for healing, your highest gifts, what you're here to communicate, how you market your business through your human design, and so much more, I would love for you to book a human design reading. The link is in the show notes to go there. The human design reading is about 75 minutes long, so it's a lot more in-depth than this. And it's a two-way conversation where I'm not only giving you all of this information, we're kind of dissecting it. And how does that show up in your own life? And what does this look like in your own life? And what could be different if you were living your highest expression here? Are you in the shadow here? And how can we move you up into the highest expression? This is the conversation around a human design reading. So the link is in the show notes. You're going to go there. You're going to click on the little hamburger menu on my website and scroll down to personal readings. And it will take you right there to book your own. So if I were giving Brooke one piece of advice, it would be really hard to stick to just one piece of advice, but I'd say to spend more time in focused stillness. This is the energy that actually formats her entire design. The more time that she can spend with herself in focused stillness, the less chaotic her life will feel, even though she'll always be busy. Again, remember that human design is all about the nuances. I know I've said it, I'm gonna die on this hill. In this session, we looked at a very brief overview of just some of the bigger pieces of her design. But if you want to get my eyes on your own chart, and if you want to be in a room where we can really dissect it together, then you're going to want to book your own human design reading on the website. Life is going to kick you around. Stay unjaded.